The Old Testament reading for the Nativity of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the Gospel of the Lord. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, who registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. You may be seated. There's something so ordinary in those words recorded for you, and you hear every year at this time. The world remembers the angels, the shepherds, the sights and sounds of the multitude singing, and everyone coming to worship the baby Jesus. And this is all good and right and salutary. These things surrounding the birth of Jesus are important and proclaim the reality and glory that is Jesus born in Bethlehem. Yet in those first verses of Luke, the birth of Jesus is recorded in such a matter-of-fact way. Here is a couple betrothed to be married. They're seeking to be righteous, even in a civil sense, of adhering to the decree to be registered. It seems so dull and boring when you just take it at the situation which occurs. Yet there's great beauty in this account. First and foremost, it's the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, which are good, true, and beautiful. There's beauty also in this account, though, because you see your Lord here in this humble situation and estate. The classical definition of beauty includes things like an arrangement of the integral parts of something into a coherent whole, according to their proportions, harmony, how they fit together, symmetry, and other notions along those lines. So beauty is not something in the eye of the beholder. That's actually a false thing. Beauty is objective and transcendent. So here, we see the Lord of hosts lay in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. So to see the beauty of the nativity is to see this image of Jesus in the manger and to see his purpose along with who he is and his very person and what he does. It's beautiful because God is in the manger and he's come to save you. So at Christmas, you see God is in the manger. Here he is, a newborn, among the filth in a place where animals dwell and having no place to lay his head other than a vehicle used by animals to eat and drink. God is in the manger just as he had been in the womb of the Virgin since his conception by the Holy Spirit. He is there just as he would be held in her arms and be carried to Egypt as a king sent men to try to kill him. God is there just as later when he was visited by Magi who fell down and worshipped him. He's there just as he grew up in the small, dinky town of Nazareth and then traveled around preaching, teaching, and healing. He's there just as he would stand before a Roman governor, be condemned to death, tortured, suffer, and die among criminals. He's there just as he rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples. Here is God. God is man, man to deliver. And the Son now is one with our blood forever. So God is here at Christmas in the manger. And it's the same God who did all these things because God is who he is. He's Emmanuel, God with us. That's who he is and what he does. So to know God is to know Christ, who is God in the flesh. To behold Jesus is to see God who came down from his heavenly throne to fulfill God's law perfectly, to suffer God's wrath against sin, and to die to satisfy that righteous anger in your place and then rise from the dead for your justification. In that regard, it's not that complicated in terms of what the scriptures reveal to you. Seeing God in the manger is to see the Savior of the world. Christmas, then, is something to not be treated lightly. So as ordinary as this image is, there's something extraordinary going on with great ramifications for your life. Your attitude is to be like the shepherds in the Christmas story, who amid fear and trembling were comforted by God's word and went to where the Lord was to be found. They went to a place that was holy, where the Lord was, in the manger. Sitting in these pews tonight, you also have come to a holy place, something different than the bleachers at a football game, the seats at a concert, or even as you rest in the living room of your home. God is in the manger, and God is here now. Now, granted, God is everywhere and fills all things, but he makes himself known through his word and sacraments. Having accomplished salvation, he distributes or gives to you through these means. So this very instant, you are encountering the living God as you hear his word read and preached to you. So where is God this Christmas right now? Well, he's no longer in the manger, but he's right here, and he's in your midst. So what is then your response to this? Is it a thing of fear or a thing of comfort? Well, the answer is yes. The first response of the proclamation of Christmas you see in the shepherds. Luke records for us, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.'" So here these shepherds were minding their own business until the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and it scared the living daylights out of them. They were told to pay attention to what happened and then where the Lord was to be found. The fear you are to have is to see God for who he is and what he says. Because in your sin, you walk in darkness. You grope through this world. You want to be told it's okay and affirmed in who you are and what you think according to your own sinful thoughts and desires. And you're tempted to buy into the lies of the world, the devil, and your own fallen flesh that want absolutely nothing more than to silence God or to form a God that can be molded and shaped into your image. You want a God you don't have to fear, one whose presence can just be like a friend cheering you on the sidelines. But you see, here at Christmas, God is in the manger. And he is the God who is here now and who says in Hebrews, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So the God who is in the manger is the same God who will take vengeance on those who have rejected him and will make them a footstool for his feet. And there's no amount of deflecting it, denying it, sidestepping it, or changing this fact. So Christmas is where this reality is seen, that God has come down to earth and he has come down among sinners. The baby who is God in the manger is the one who will come again to judge the living and the dead, who will judge you. Normally a baby isn't one to be feared, but this baby is the one who has the authority to cast you into hell. So fear God who calls you to a new life that is not formed according to the patterns of the world, but instead trains you to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, right, and godly lives in the present age, as you heard in the epistle reading. So God is in the manger and he's here now, so listen to him. The beginning of Jesus' ministry in the gospel started off by him saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." God's kingdom has come. It is here now, and he will come again on the last day. And all flesh will be raised, either to dwell with the devil and his demons or with God and his saints in glory. So on this night, you see God in the manger. And in your sin, you fear God. And God is here. But you see, dear people of God, dear saints of God, baptized into Christ, this is truly a thing of comfort for you. And that then begins to form, shape, and define Christmas. It's real, it's fleshly, it's tangible. It's not an abstract thing, but very much a part of who you are as God's people. It's far greater than some sentiment. No, God is in the manger, and he tells you tonight that he was there for you. God took on human flesh in order that he could die and atone for your sin, and he has done just that. Jesus is the Lord who is far greater than anyone can try to imagine or try to turn Christmas into, however nice it may appear. Jesus didn't become an angel. He didn't become some spirit that floats around. No, God became man. He's like you in every way, yet without sin. This is God's grace and mercy. So as Christians, you find comfort that God is in the manger and he's here now because to behold Jesus in faith is to see him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I don't think the microphone likes this heat. This is the third service today. I have a lot of fans going on today. That's all right. So we take to heart the preaching and believe his words. We cling to his words. And in repentance and faith, we hear the words of the angel and rejoice. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So you see, as the infant Jesus lay his head resting that first night, he was born so that the day would come when his head would bow not in the manger of Bethlehem, but in death as he hung on a cross at Golgotha. But know this and take it all to heart. That was for you. Christ coming into the world was for you so that you would be redeemed by his blood. He, the perfect sacrifice, is the Lamb of God who has taken your sin upon himself and taken what you rightly deserve. And instead he gives you his righteousness, his glory, his life. That's mind-boggling. But it's true. It's good. It's beautiful. And God rightly shows you that you are a sinner, but yet your Lord has come to save you. So here is this baby, come into this world. The same person Mary held in her arms and nursed from her body is the same one she would see hanging naked, dead and lifeless on a cross. Ask Mary what's the cost of sin, and she could tell you. She knew. But look at Christ, dear saints of God, and see your redemption. Your salvation in the baby born to Mary, and behold him through the lens of the cross as you see where he would go, all out of love for you. And so then your attitude towards this is like the shepherds after they heard this message. They give you an example of what the Christian faith looks like and how it's lived. It wasn't let's run away, or it wasn't let's keep tending our flocks because we're feeding and clothing Bethlehem with these sheep, so it's more important for us to stay and do our job than to go where Jesus is found. No, it was something else. We're told when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. That right there is what the Christian life looks like. It hears God's word and says, Amen, Lord, I will go where you say and find you where you're to be found because you are the Savior who is Christ the Lord, born for me, and from this I will confess who you are before all the world. And so God is here and he's at work even now. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The heavens are opened as Jesus was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and born into this world darkened by sin. God dwelled in the depths because he rescued you from sin, death, and the devil. Your life has been redeemed by Christ. Be like the shepherds. Keep running to where your Lord is found in humble settings and follow as he guides you through this world by his word. For the grace of God has appeared. The fullness of time has come. The day has been won. God at Christmas is in the manger. And see life in all of this, life amid death. Life given for you. Dear saints of God, it's Christmas. And what a wonderful thing this is to gather here tonight. The Christmas story is for you. Treasure these words as Mary would treasure all these things in her heart. And rejoice and give thanks that the Lord has come. Light has scattered the darkness. The quiet night burst open with sounds of salvation, your salvation. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And God is right where he wants to be. God was in the manger. And this is beautiful. He's here for you, just as he lay in the dirty manger. That's where he wanted to be, as he slept soundly as a baby. because he was on his heroic course to save you. And God says to you, for unto you is born a child, unto you a son is given. Dear people of God, you are his, and he is yours. Glory to God in the highest, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.